the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Yoga is an ancient Hindu discipline, which has been around, believe it or not, for over 5,000 years. It's the practice of body postures, meditation, and breathing control. So why is it so good? Well, we thought we would ask a yoga expert. Joining us from the Cleveland Heart Institute is Judy Barr. And Judy, let's get into yoga. What makes it so unique? I mean, as I just mentioned, it's a combination of body postures, meditation, and breathing control. Why is it become so popular today? And let's talk about the health benefits of yoga, and especially for those who age, and you know, you get beyond 65 and you want to think of keeping your flexibility, all the other things that yoga does. So let's begin. Why is it so healthful?
That sounds great. First off, just a quickie, we're the Cleveland Clinic, and the Cleveland Clinic has a heart and vascular institute, but we're called the Cleveland Clinic, so just to confirm that. And yes, yoga is just exploding all over the place, and there's many good reasons why. The fact that I was brought on full-time with the Cleveland Clinic, I'm probably one of the first or one of maybe just a few in the country that do the work that I do. The science has shown how much yoga can help us on so many levels. So just the fact that I have the position I have really says that its time has come. And one of the reasons we believe that it's growing so much, and the Cleveland Clinic believes this and supports it, is that stress is a huge precursor to almost 80% of the chronic disease that's out there. And yoga has been shown to be able to calm the nervous system. And with that, it does so many other things, beautiful healing aspects within us. So the reason yoga has become so popular, several reasons. There is more data, there's more science showing that, wow, this practice of breathing, of meditating, of moving can help lower our stress, which stops shooting out all the cortisol and all the rough hormones that can really pull us down and wreak havoc on our body and our immune system. But there's more chronic disease, there's more chronic pain out there, the nutrition aspect, aging, all of that. We have more and more people, because of their lifestyles, they're not as healthy. And so the hospitals, the caregivers are being just inundated with more and more people that are having challenges. So not only is there more data showing that yoga can help, there's more and more people out there that need this work. And there's more and more people that are saying, you know what, I think I want to do more than take a pill, or geez, is there any other way that I can either prevent these things from happening or treat them? So it's kind of a conglomeration of that, plus healthcare is so expensive. So we've heard a lot about yoga, and the challenge with that can be is someone might go into a corner yoga class, or say your doc says, hey, Mr. Smith, you need to calm down. Why don't you try a yoga class? And not all yoga is created equal, which means not every class is good for each person. You know, a 20-year-old athlete versus a 65-year-old, as you mentioned, you know, there's different requirements. So one of the most important pieces of all this is do your research. And when you go to a class, make sure that it's one that you can begin in and feel moderately comfortable and then grow within. Poses can be pretty athletic, and it's not fit for everybody to just jump right in.
One of the things that I think of yoga, I think of flexibility as something that is a big benefit. And we know that as we age, keeping our bodies flexible keeps us from falling and having injuries. So can you talk about, you know, you just mentioned the stress. Can you talk about what the flexibility does?
Absolutely. Stress is the overriding piece why we see more about it. But our body needs variety. And so, you know, think about when you hear about Tiger Woods, you know, and his knee problem from golfing, or runners with their hamstrings and their IT bands, there's so much challenge, or even just someone that does something repetitive every day, even sitting too much. Yoga provides a lot of variety to the very essence of our day-to-day motion, the ergonomics of how we sit in our chair and how we get up and walk. And that's the beauty of yoga, is the immense amount of variety of motions that are given that we'll use these muscle groups and these joints in a little bit of a different ways. It's getting blood flow. It's getting the synovial fluid in the joints, keeping it lubricated. It even goes down, and there's some beautiful studies that show that the more one practices yoga. Let's talk about the baby boomers. I was just reading an article just a few moments ago about, they called it the silver tsunami, and all the people over 65 that's growing and growing, is that yoga can not only help our memory, in other words, when we're meditating and we're calming, we're able to help our brain in our aging. But think about this. When we're moving, let's say we just bend over and we're reaching down towards touching our toes. It stretches the skin. It stretches the soft, the fascia or the connective tissue, the muscle, the tendons, and then it begins to get even into the nerves. And here's the key, even for aging, is that it can get much deeper so that our blood vessels actually become more supple as we learn how to stretch, as we learn how to breathe and get more airflow, as we move and get more oxygenated blood through our system. So that flexibility is more than even being able to bend over. It has such an internal effect. And with that, it also helps us with our balance, which goes with flexibility. And again, if we're talking about baby boomers, if we don't use it, we lose it, right? And we need that variety of motion to help us even with balance so that we can stay upright, stay strong, do our 10,000 steps a day and all the things we do to stay healthy, right?
So we have this increased flexibility. What about tonal strength? You know, when I think of adding strength, I think of weightlifting. I might even think of using Pilates or a Pilates machine. How does yoga increase strength? I mean, it seems to me like a lot of the poses are stretch poses. Let's talk about the muscle factor.
Right. Well, yoga is the balance of, we say, the yin and the yang, or the male and the female energy, the softer stretching deeper, which some people have that archetype in their head that it's flexibility, whereas some others think of it more as power. You hear about hot yoga and ashtanga yoga and things. So ideally, it's the balance of both. Why yoga can help our core, just generally, whether or not we're doing more of a gentle, even a stretching class versus something where there is more strengthening, is in one of the styles of yoga, standing up straight needs to use our core, right? And they consider what's called mountain pose, or it's called Tadasana, standing up straight, as an intermediate pose because it's so hard to hold our posture. So, you know, engaging the core, which is the tummy, the sides, and the back. So just the essence of beginning, yoga brings attention to using the core, whether we're standing up straight, bending over, side. Something that's very typical is if we asked our listeners now to stand up and lean forward and, say, put their hands on a table or a desk, generally they'd let their tummy hang. They wouldn't think of using their navel center or their core to pull in, which engages the back. So very simple motions bring attention to the core and using that. Then, as one progresses in yoga, there's more strengthening poses that are added. In the beginning stages, if someone jumps in, the teachers are going to work a little bit more on getting more flexibility, more body awareness, and then progressively add more strengthening to it. So although yoga gets, you know, people think of it as sometimes just stretching or just strengthening, it really is a very good balance. And every pose, every motion one does, whether it's a simple motion or it gets more complicated, is using the core, is using the strength. The obvious is when one gets in plank pose and gets some arm balancing poses and things where it appears that we need even more strength than we would by just standing. We build to that and, of course, add that more strength to it. So it's a really good balance of both.
What about respiration and body circulation? Is it through the poses, the stretching? What does that do that improves, let's say, respiration? I've read books where you have people that have high blood pressure that they get on to doing a yoga routine and they get off their medication. What is it that yoga does that creates that?
There's several aspects of it. Yoga brings about self-observation and awareness. In other words, when we're instructing a class, we're asking our students to really be as present as possible, be present with their body sensations, their breath, even their thoughts. So yoga on the broadest range will help us become more aware how we're feeling. There's a byproduct of practicing yoga, and one of them is an awareness of how we're living our life off the mat, how we eat, how we handle our stress. So lowering our blood pressure is profound when we're in a class and we're focusing, breathing, and see our breath, you know, our heart is a pump, obviously, and it pumps the blood. We add that beautiful cleansing breath, a really full diaphragmatic breathing. In other words, an unrestricted, not a tense breath, really nice and deep. We're getting lots of oxygenation through, which gets into our cells, pumps through our body. It has a very therapeutic or healing effect because, you know, oxygenation is, that's it. What we're doing is helping our body run better, come back to homeostasis or balance. And in that calming, to be able to maintain it, the tools we learn, we take that off the mat, and it will actually literally help us to choose a little bit better on how we eat. We choose to want to feel a little bit better. And overall, it can have a really nice long-term effect. While doing that, because we're moving, our immune system doesn't have a pump. So motion, meaning just walking, moving our arms, contracting our muscles, and breathing is what helps pump the lymphatic fluid through our system. And what that does is it collects the toxins in our body, filters through the lymphatic system or our lymph nodes, i.e. our tonsils. You know, when the tonsils get swollen, it's because there's some kind of little toxin in our body and it's helping to filter it. So that breath and that focus is what does help to calm the respiratory system. It gets more oxygenation through the system, which is a beautiful byproduct, helping us to become just healthier. And in the long term, yes, it is possible to get off blood pressure medicine because of the awareness we have off the mat. You know, our blood pressure is very responsive. We can start thinking of something. To our mind, everything is real. So we could start thinking of an uncomfortable situation and our heart rate starts to raise and we breathe harder. And we can also learn how to calm that. And that's another tool that we get in yoga, is when we notice our mind is going off a little bit, we can calm it by bringing ourselves back. All of that affects our blood pressure, that heart rate.
Let me ask you this. There's various forms of yoga. In fact, I think there's like 40, 50, 60 different varieties. How does one know what is the right type of yoga given your age and maybe your health? Can you explain what is most beneficial? In other words, what are you using at the Cleveland Clinic?
Well, you're right. There are lots of styles. Think of it, though, as like a family tree, and the trunk with just a couple of the main branches is really how yoga was developed, as you said, over 5,000 years ago. Yoga was developed as a result of meditators realizing they can't sit to meditate for 8 hours without getting up and moving a little bit. And so what has happened is with those few branches, those few styles of yoga, that's the basis of everything, especially in America, people have said, oh, I've got this different style and this really works. And, oh, I've got this style. So all these styles are hybrids of the traditional style of yoga, which is, you know, certainly fine. And there is an awful lot to choose from. So your question is well placed. Where does one begin? And my training and working within a medical institution as I do, I'm what's considered a yoga therapist or a yoga specialist. My training is understanding medical issues. I do not have the training of a doctor by any stretch of the imagination, but enough of an understanding of the body and the medical issues, the contraindications of medicines and all, to combine the tools of yoga to help gear around helping someone who has a medical issue either treat it and or literally help to work on prevention by coming to a place of wellness. So the style that I do here at the clinic is really accessible. anybody can come into any one of our classes. It's not, you know, a power gymnastic type of class. It's a style that just blends around our patients, our people that come in, so that anyone can get the benefit of it. It's very inclusive. I would invite anybody to come and try it, and they would find they feel better. For our listeners, or for someone that's looking for yoga, the best thing to do is to check into local places and find a style. You know, someone's, it's kind of almost like starting an exercise program. You're not going to jump into training for a marathon if you haven't been working your cardiovascular or flexibility for a while. So it really has to take some research and even maybe interviewing a teacher before someone goes if they're apprehensive about thinking they might be getting in a little bit deeper. You know, beginning yoga can be beginning, but not necessarily for someone that's never done anything for a while. So it's very tricky. The main thing is go see a class, go talk to a teacher, and ask them if they feel where they are in their process that they would fit. Walking into a power yoga or a hot yoga where someone isn't in shape or doesn't feel comfortable doing that, they can really hurt themselves.
Judy, is there one particular yoga that you have found or style of yoga that works well with, let's say, an older person versus, let's say, as you just mentioned, you know, hot yoga or power yoga for somebody in their 20s and 30s may be okay, but somebody in their 60s or maybe even 70s, that may not work.
Right. Well, the basis, one of the main branches, as I described, is called Hatha or Hatha yoga, and that's the basis of it. It tends to be, I don't want to say simpler because it can be actually quite hard, but it's kind of it's a little bit more pure. And within that and under that umbrella, someone might say that they may take chair yoga or they might end up taking just a beginner Hatha yoga. So that would kind of be my direction to tell people is look at someone that may have that style and look for beginning, therapeutic, yes, even chair. You'd be surprised how awesome and how much can be done on a chair to get into the muscle groups and balance the muscle groups and prepare to be able to do maybe even deeper. So if someone is just beginning, they're in their 60s, they're looking, I would say beginning Hatha yoga, chair yoga, therapeutic yoga, something like that. And you'd be surprised, almost thinking of it as a training ground to help them perhaps get into better shape, stretch their body, strengthen it a little bit, where they find that they can advance and take perhaps even things that are a little bit harder.
How did the Cleveland Heart Clinic, which is well known around the world, how did they start integrating yoga? Was it for the very health benefits that we're talking about, whether it's respiration, flexibility, de-stressing? Was that the main reason you incorporated that into your protocols for health?
Yes. 10, 11, 12 years ago, Dr. Toby Cosgrove, when he in the early stages of his tenure as CEO here, along with Dr. Michael Roizen, began to see the aging population, the challenges, and the benefits, especially the stress management benefits of yoga. And they decided that, you know, we're going to start working with this as much as possible. And although it's been at times a slow road because, you know, we're quite a big institution, there's been some studies done. We've done some protocols even with heart transplant patients. Here in the Wellness Institute, we use it daily. We have many, many classes that we offer our patients. So, as I said earlier, why I was hired, the main reason is that the data has shown that yoga can help, and it can be very non-invasive. And that's the big key, is there's not really any side effects, short of if somebody takes a class that it's too hard for them and they could hurt themselves. There's no side effects to yoga. People are asking for more ways that they can support themselves, and the cost of healthcare is so expensive. So let's find ways that we can help support, you know, our patients to become a bit healthier and more active within their own well-being and their healthcare.
So as we sum this up, if let's say I'm 65 years old, I want to get into health, I want to maintain that health. If I was to begin, what would be some easy steps or recommendations you would give to our listeners? Like, for example, checking out a yoga facility or trying to find something like chair yoga or hatha yoga, given that you're age 65. What are some practical steps and things that you should be aware of?
Well, I would suggest yoga for anyone. I'm 66 years old and better than ever. I think it's my yoga for the years that I've been working. I'm healthy. I'm not on any medicines at all. So absolutely, I would suggest they check into yoga. As I mentioned, it overlaps their whole way of thinking over time, meaning that they begin to choose more wisely. They feel better, so they get more exercise. There's a website you can go to, yogaalliance.org or internationalassociationofyogatherapists.org, and there's lists of qualified, experienced teachers on those websites. Our recreation centers in our towns are really developing more yoga for their community, and certainly there's many yoga studios that people can research. And within that, looking at making sure they're eating, you know, hydrating enough, they're maybe tending towards that Mediterranean-style diet, which, you know, the data has shown that that's a pretty healthy way to be. Those kind of things, you know, making sure we get enough rest, those kind of things support our yoga practice, and we decide we want to be a little bit healthier, and we look into those types of things. So helps us with our aging, too. It's really, in other words, how our brain handles things, the cognitive response.
Is there a particular book you would recommend that would be very helpful? Or would you recommend, if somebody was to start this, that they probably go to a class or get an instructor rather than trying to do this on your own at home?
That's a really good question. I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah, I truly believe it is best to start with a teacher. And, you know, ultimately, being able to do it a couple times a week, so perhaps someone takes a class, a 45-minute or an hour class, and if possible, the ideal would be, you know, doing it 2 to 3 times a week with a little bit of extra stretching and strengthening in between. So there's many books out there, and depending on the style and what the focus is on the book, I'm not so sure there's any one that I would suggest. I think if someone, you know, goes to the library or Googles something and they just look through, see what attracts them, because there's as many styles and different ways to do it. You know, individually, someone might be attracted to a particular style. So I think a book to support it would help, but I think ideally going in and having a experienced instructor help them would be the best. I have a PDF that I'll send you that, if you wish, you can post, that just gives some real basic motions that you could do at your desk or during the course of the day. You can post that and people can download it if they wish.
I would love to have that. Well, listen, Judy, it was a pleasure to have you on the program, and it's amazing. I keep reading more and more stories about yoga. I had a client that started taking yoga, and he completely got off his blood pressure medication, and it's amazing what it's done for his health. So apparently it's been around for 5,000 years, so it obviously has a track record.
It sure does, and I'm so glad you brought it up, and what a great resource to let your listeners know.
Well, listen, Judy, I look forward to receiving the PDF, and I'll just let our listeners, we'll post it on our website. So if you want to download it, it'll be made available with this interview. Judy, all the best to you. Keep up the good work, and thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Have a great day.
You know, as we take a look at health issues, we talk about diet, we talk about all kinds of things on the program, and we also talk about exercise. And one thing that I've been doing a lot of research on is flexibility, which is so important as we age, because you don't want to fall, you want to maintain bone strength, and this is one that is just, it really stands out. So you can take a look at the PDF, we'll post it on the website, and hope that brings you good health this year. I'm Jim Poplava. Thanks for listening.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.